From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Hey, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Blue Blue Show, the Rain Podcast, we're Rangers Proud. Conference Final 2. Right now, game in session, Game 3, Eastern Conference Finals, Boston Bruins, Carolina Hurricanes. An interesting game, to say the least. Carolina with a lot of shots flying around in that first period, but nothing to show for it as far as on the scoreboard. But we saw the Bruins get two in the second, and then the Carolina Hurricanes respond in the second intermission as we speak. To me, man, Boston looks like they're going to win this series. Just looking at the tempo, especially in the first game, especially what happened in the third period. But we'll talk about that. The two series, Boston, Carolina, San Jose, St. Louis, bring back on R Pizzle, Ranger Proud on Facebook, also Elite Sports New York writer. Conference final episode, R Pizzle, what's going on, man? How you doing, RP?
Hey, Steve, how's it going? Yeah, it's been an interesting Carolina-Boston series, as you were saying. Carolina threw everything out. You know, they did what they had to do first. You know, their first game home in a series. They haven't lost a playoff game at home this year. I mean, they're battling 2-1 going into the third, but I don't know. They seem to be a little snake-bitten. Boston's playing some really good hockey right now, and they seem to be taking advantage of every opportunity they get.
Correct. Looking at tonight's game, watching this game right now, it's like Carolina can't get it going. This is really a carryover from the second period of game one. And this is how I see it with the Boston Bruins. The Boston Bruins they're not the fastest team. They have fast guys, but they're not the fastest team remaining in the playoffs. But they have guys who are excellently, they're very skilled. They get to the right spots, and they have timely, good passing. And the Carolina Hurricanes and team we talked about pretty much all season, you know, when we watched the Rangers, they have a Swiss cheese defense. We got to call it for what it is. They have Swiss cheese defense, and they're getting exposed with that Swiss cheese defense, especially once they cross that blue line. I've seen it multiple times, especially in Boston, in both games, them splitting the defensemen, the Boston Bruins, no matter what lines who's out there, no matter who's on the ice, especially not even the top guns. You're talking about Patrice Bergeron and Marchand. I mean, those guys still got theirs too. Don't get me wrong. They still did their thing. But, I mean, we're talking about guys like Jake DeBrusque and David Backes, Marcus Johansson, who's having a monster series on that third or fourth line for the Boston Bruins. RP, they are dominating the Carolina Hurricanes. Now it may not show as far as like shots on goal or whatever, but if, just looking at the games, especially the first two, you would say, man, Boston, how could Boston lose? Like, that's the question I would ask you. How could they lose? They could score whenever they want. Everything's at the net. They're scoring off backhands. They're scoring off clean shots, deflections. They get it at all. Carolina did come out desperate like they should have tonight, but giving up the first two goals at home, especially in that second period. Marchand got one of the goals and Wagner got one of the goals. Both goals were at the net. Like, they're getting too deep. They're getting too deep past the defensemen of the Carolina Hurricanes, and that's a big problem. What's your thoughts?
You know, I agree. I think we've been talking about Boston for a while. The team, as the playoffs went on, to get better and better. Rask is just playing great in that. You could see what he did in the first period of tonight's game. He's really on, though. I tell you, he did let a real soft goal in to end the second period just now that might give the Carolina Hurricanes a little bit of life, which is something you don't want to do when you got a team down the way Boston has Carolina down. You have to see how they respond to start the third period, because I thought that was a real soft goal that Russ gave up at the end of that period.
Right. The goalie situation with the Carolina Hurricanes, they're having the indecisions on who to start. Tuukka Rask is kind of like is doing his thing. He didn't really have to see a lot of shots in game two. Matter of fact, honestly, I don't think he's really been challenged like that up until this point. And not to say that the Boston defensemen have been playing all role like that. I just think Boston has been a lot efficient. They were a very efficient team in game number two. When it rained, it really poured, especially in game one. Even with Carolina up 2-1, and that game should never have gotten out of hand like that in the third period in game one. That should not have happened, even if you are the road team. Carolina had to stop the bleeding. I'm not exactly sure why that game got so out of hand so quickly, even up 2-1 going into the third period. They controlled everything, the faceoffs, they had the hits, they had it all. And then Boston just went off with a bunch of goals. And you got contributions from your top guy like Sebastian Aho. You got that in that game. But, I think what I saw, they had their opportunities in game one, especially in that second period where they could have went up 3-1, and they've missed a lot of shots. Like Slavin, the one shot I remember, Slavin had a wide open shot from the point. And it had there probably been a guy out there in front of the net, in front of Tsukaras, maybe a possible deflection. We're talking 3-1 Carolina, probably early third period. Maybe it's a different series. But you got Marcus Johansson has played excellent. He's had excellent passes. Patrice Bergeron had an excellent shot from Brad Marchand. Coyle had another goal. I mean, these guys are getting it from all lines. Carolina doesn't have the best defense. And then even on their power play has not been effective. I really don't like the body language from the Carolina Hurricanes right now. Anything else from the Carolina side or Boston side? What's your thoughts?
No, I agree with that. They're just not. Carolina seems really hesitant. You know, the goalie situation was very strange to me because in the last game, I really didn't think Mazurek played bad. I think they should have pulled him after the second period because he was kind of getting beat up on, and he needed the break, and the team could have used a change of goalie to tighten up a little bit. And instead, they threw him back in there, and I think he gave up two or three more goals. I really thought it was unnecessary to put him through that when, for all intents and purposes, Carolina wasn't going to come back in that game anyway. So I think the coach started his own goaltender controversy in the playoffs, which is the worst thing to do. Mazurak's the right guy to be in net for these games, so I was – I mean, when he got hurt, it was one situation, of course. But here, I don't think starting the other goaltender, I forgot his name, tonight, I would want Mazurek. Remember, they were undefeated at home throughout the whole playoffs. Right. They were undefeated at home in this year's playoffs. So I would have stood with what was working and see where it went from there. Like I said, I think they stirred the pot a little bit too much looking for an answer when it really wasn't goaltending that was the problem.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely not. Oh no, absolutely not. You're right. The defenseman has been terrible for the Carolina. It has been, when we look at our own team throughout the regular season, it's kind of almost like watching them in the mirror on the ice tonight. It's been bad, man. I mean, the guys for the Boston getting to their spots, whether it's McAvoy, the defenseman getting deep, he's actually had a great playoffs. Torrey Krug had a lot of. I mean, they had open looks, open shots on goal. Nothing's really been challenged. And then you get, like I said, with Wagner's contributions, DeBrusque, David Backes, I haven't heard, play out of him pretty much all playoffs, and he's gotten some contribution. And we already know that top line is pretty much the top line in the sport, right? They're going to show up. So when it comes to the Carolina Hurricanes, Falk, I thought Falk has played well. And Sebastian Aho, and then, Justin Williams, he's been letting it fly tonight with a few shots that I saw tonight. But they got to stop the bleeding, man. I mean, they could get into the series. They have to win this. If they don't win this third period, it's over. And the series is over. I don't see them coming back from 3-0. I don't know what else to really add to this series because when Boston let it rain, it poured in game two, man. I mean, it really, really got out of hand, man. Is there anything that Carolina needs to do to neutralize Boston and go into the third period and just the rest of the series just to chip away, or how do you look at this?
I think Carolina has to go back to playing that style of hockey. Boston's pretty much been beating them up this series, hard-hitting, strong on the forecheck, a lot of body work, and I think Carolina's trying to play that style of hockey as opposed to playing the style of hockey that got them to where they are today. And I would try to get back to that format and just take it a shift at a time. I mean, it's 2-1. They need to win this third period. They need to do more than win the third period. They need to come out of the third period with the game. They really don't want to go into overtime and add that extra pressure to them. And then just take it a game at a time from there. You know, you win this game, and now it's 2-1. It's a totally different series. You don't want to go down 3-0 because it's going to be almost impossible to come back the way Boston's playing.
I agree. Justin Williams is accumulating a lot of penalty minutes in the series. Boston's capitalizing. I mean, their power play, especially in game two, you know, they went 2-for-2 on the power play. And then when the chances of Carolina being on the power play, I think they had like 3 to 4 opportunity power plays, and I don't remember them. I don't even think they scored on a power play in Boston in game two. But you're right, man. I mean, Boston's playing their physical game. They got the score, and they got it going on right now, man. And I think I'm not saying Carolina was burnt out, but I just think Boston's just the superior team. That's just basic. I think they see a Stanley Cup right now. I mean, if Carolina doesn't get back into this thing, I don't know what could happen in the next few minutes. What about the West series? You know, the Western Conference, Eastern Conference, the Sharks and the Blues, right? Totally two different type of play games of a series in the sense of, you know, the way I would look at the Sharks and the Blues, staying up watching this RP, the Blues, I mean, well, the Sharks more so than anything, they've been capitalizing, especially in game one, off of stupid turnovers by the Blues or risky turnovers. So the Blues have been getting killed in the neutral zone. And you can't play against most teams in the NHL in the playoffs, let alone a team like San Jose, like Couture, like Logan Couture is just eating them up. And what I've been watching is St. Louis with the risky passing in the neutral zone in the St. Louis Blue, I mean, not the St. Louis Blue, the Sharks, turning in opportunities to goals, and even on odd-man rushes as well. Even when St. Louis is on a power play, they'll make risky passes in the neutral zone, and it's turning over to shorthanded goals by the Sharks. Even with all that said, Jaden Schwartz has looked spectacular for the St. Louis Blues. He's pretty much won them the game, in my opinion, in game two. But how do you look at the Sharks-Blues series up until this point?
Well, my question is, where has Tarasenko been at? He's really been quiet, hasn't been a factor, which is surprising because he's, you know, one of the better players on the team, and he's definitely a game changer. And that's, to me, the most noticeable. On the flip side, it's great to see Pavelski came back after his injury. They're gunning for Carlson, and he's handling it really well. He's got a lot of weapons around him to help him, Brett Burns and other defensemen. And Jones, all of a sudden, is playing lights out in net, where in the Golden Knights series, people were talking about pulling him immediately and not playing him anymore. It's amazing how a couple of series can change a confidence in a goalie, but he's been playing really well. I mean, the series is tied at 1. It's anyone's series, but St. Louis is going to have to really start to step up their game a lot because there's that firepower with San Jose. They've been there before. They got a great captain, Pavelski, that really knows how to lead the team, and they respond. And he just gets them to play at a different level when he's out there on the ice. And, you know, they're battling a lot of things. So, of course, every game is important. St. Louis, I like to get that 2-1 lead. Game three is always an important factor here. So we're just going to have to wait and see, excuse me, and see where it goes from there. I still think San Jose is going to have the edge in this. Only just because they just seem to be, even when they lost their last game, they seem to have a little bit better step to their game. They don't seem as much as nervous as St. Louis, but that can turn around, Steve. We've seen that in so many other times in so many other playoff series. So a good series. I've watched more of the Carolina Bruins series than I have the West Conference, but there's still time for me to catch up on that one.
Right. Let me say this about the St. Louis side. I know Tarasenko has not got on, you know, the goal side of things when it comes to the score sheet, but he did have a nice pass back in the game one.
Yeah.
The setup for the Edmondson goal. I don't even know how he got that pass off to set up the Joel Edmondson goal. This is the one thing I do like about St. Louis, especially in game one. When the Sharks scored, whenever they did score, whether Pavelski had a goal, LeBanc had a goal, or Couture had a goal, they responded immediately. Now, there's one matchup in this game that I didn't really think about it at first before the series started, but the Ryan O'Reilly, if you watch the game, the Ryan O'Reilly versus Vlasic, Edward Vlasic, that is a match in the show. Because Edward Vlasic he's been chasing Ryan O'Reilly all behind the net, all around the circles. And Ryan O'Reilly he's been eluding this guy on that 30-D ice. And he's actually been productive, too, talking about Ryan O'Reilly. Especially with the Shark defenseman, because they have the type of defenseman, as you already know, Edward Vlasic, Eric Karlsson, Brent Burns. They're not your normal defenseman. These guys like to shoot. These guys like to really not only shoot but get deep and shoot and score. The Blues, in my opinion, kind of neutralized that. But the thing about what makes the Sharks dangerous, and I agree that the Sharks should win the series, even if it goes 6 or 7, is because if the St. Louis Blues are going to play this risky hockey, like we've seen in the first two games in San Jose, I think this really falls towards the Kevin LeBancs, or the Joe Pavelskis, especially Timo Meier and Logan Couture. Logan Couture's had at least, I lost track, he's scored at least 8-9 goals at this point. It may be even more than that up until this point. He's scoring all over the ice, whether he's on the near side of the net receiving the pass, open ice breaks. He's been a load for every series of the Sharks. The Vegas Golden Knights, the second round, versus the – who the hell did he play in the second round? I don't remember. Or the Avalanche. I'm sorry. I think the Avalanche. And then in the series versus the Blues. He's already made his mark already in two games. But it was kind of surprising that the Blues – I wouldn't say surprising, but the Blues had a lot of power plays. They didn't cash in on the special teams in game number two. But with that said, Jaden Schwartz has kept them in the series in both games. I think Jaden Schwartz is a guy that is kind of under the radar. Nobody talks about him around, you know, the NHL like that. If you watch, hockey, you know, if you're on social media, on Twitter, unless you're a St. Louis Blues fan, I mean, not a lot of fans of different teams who are watching the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs have talked about a lot of Jaden Schwartz. And I'm not exactly sure why, because he leads the team in goals, and he's been the most productive Blue probably in the playoffs. That includes Tarasenko. What's your thoughts?
I agree. I agree with that whole statement, what you were saying. Excuse me, I'm in between, Steve. Are you happen to be watching the hockey game right now?
I know it's on.
There's something you and I have to discuss in the very near future, this goaltender interference calls or lack of calls or incorrect calls. Here's another one that clearly is an interference because Carolina's goalie is is out of his crease when the Boston Bruin and him make contact, and they've called goalie interference and called it a no goal. And DeBrusk is clearly pushed into him, and the goalie is way out of the crease. They're going to have to correct this because it's becoming a huge factor in a lot of plays. Goalies are getting smarter. It looked like Carolina's goalie kind of stuck his leg into DeBrusk as he was trying to make the save, knowing he'd get the goalie interference call. Almost like a dive, but... And now they just called no goal. The goalie
is
out of the crease. But the goalie's not in his crease. So if he's not in his crease, you can have coincidental contact. I'm telling you, it's becoming such a huge part of hockey. It's becoming a black mark on hockey. There is no black and white. It's just up to every referee, and it seems that when they review it, they never go against the referee on the ice. Very strange.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird – sorry to get off the topic, but you're looking at this. We're talking about, you know, an Eastern Conference final game. It's a really weird no goal. I mean, what else is the player supposed to do in that point?
Right.
I'm sorry. What was your point, Dang? And I totally went on a tangent.
I was watching what you were saying as far as back of the game with the Carolina Boston game. I see what you're talking about. This is weird stuff right there with the caller, man. wow.
Yeah, I'm sitting going, how if you're watching the game, how do you explain to someone what goalie interference is if that is called goalie interference?
He's actually
a player. Once you come out of the crease, you shouldn't, don't get me wrong, you should be able to run the goalie over and body check them all. But the goalie interference play should be out of it because you're bringing yourself out of the net. That's your disadvantage to cutting
right.
down the angle on
he's
the shot.
He's out of the crease. Right,
so
yeah,
you're just
crease,
double
right.
protecting the goaltender. So now I can come out and cut up the angle, and if anyone bumps me, it's going to be no goal. It has to be corrected. It's just a horrible call right now.
It is. Yeah, I see what you're talking about. Yeah, he came out of the crease, man. He should have done that. That's bad. I don't like that. With that said, watching this. I'm glad you brought that up. Now, Boston is giving everything at the net, whether no goal, whatever. They're setting up screens in front of the net. They're setting up clear shots, clear lane shots that I see as coming out of the Boston, and where Carolina have not been a threat like that in the series as far as quality of shots. I think Boston. I mean, it's just a matter of time, RP. I just think Boston. Even getting it pulled, getting that goal, no goal, they got another goal in them outside of an empty netter. I mean, this could be 3-1 later on in this third period as we're watching this game. I mean, I could just see that happening because Boston's been consistent with their lines, their shifts, all series on up until this point. So it's just a matter of time, and they're still on the power play. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, we already know the Carolina penalty kill has been up and down. We'll see what they will do with that. The only thing I would like to add is, Tyler Bozak from the St. Louis Blues, he's going to get going. I expect him to get going in game three. I saw a little bit of Braden Schenn and then Steen get a lot of contributions between their second and the fourth line. But it's been pretty much the Jaden Schwartzel. And to this point, for this series to be 1-1, we haven't heard a lot of Vladimir Tarasenko up until this point. Expect him to do a little something at home at this point. I don't see
him staying off
the goal sheet too long,
Yeah, they have to find a way to get him more involved in the game. I don't know if they have to double shift him or get him some more ice time. Whatever it is, San Jose is isolating him really well. Don't get me wrong. But a player of that caliber, in Western Conference Final, you have to do as the coach whatever you got to do to get him involved in the game more. Because once he gets going, a huge threat. So they just need to get him started. Like you said, it's only game three. It's a 1-1 series. There's plenty of hockey left. So I expect the same as you just said, that he should start picking it up now.
Right. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't it like 2 years this was the same two teams in the Western Conference Finals, if I'm not mistaken, before San Jose went to the finals versus Pittsburgh, or 2-3 years ago? These were the same.
It might have been. I forgot. I remember the year they went to the finals, San Jose, but I can't remember who they played.
I thought it was St. Louis. It may have been.
It might have been. I lucky for remember what I used for dinner last night right now. I can't remember. I was trying to think about the last time St. Louis made it this far in the playoffs, and I meant to look it up and had it. So you might be right.
Right. From the Shark, and before we get going, I know if you have any Ranger news, please let it be known. Lauren Vitor and Timo Meier have been excellent for the Sharks. Of course, Joe Pavelski, like you said, him coming back, he's going to get on the score sheet. Well, where the hell is Evander Kane in all this? Evander Kane, definitely need to see a little bit more out of him. Now, whether they alternate the lines with him, Logan Couture, and Nyquist, and put him up to the first line, I don't know if they're going to make that change, or keep him on the line with Hurdle. Maybe, that's the preferred center that they'll play with, him and Pavelski. I'd like to see a little bit more out of Evander Kane, man. He's been kind of a little bit of quiet.
Yeah,
I know he has the assignment.
He seemed to quiet down after the Golden Knights series, I thought. He was having a real nasty battle with a couple of guys over there. And then really quiet. I agree with you. He hasn't played with the same intensity. I don't know if he got hurt. I don't know if he was told to back off a little bit on the chippiness. I'm not sure, but I agree. He's been too quiet, and you need that agitator at this level of hockey, at this level of the playoffs. So I would think somewhere he's going to have to really start to step it up. Or maybe he's just bidding his time, knowing right now the way the game is and how tight the games are, not to do something stupid. You know, I forgot who it was against the Knights when he had someone that was willing to go to battle with them every time and kind of even out and all. And here he doesn't have that,
right.
So he's probably just watching what's going on. You don't want to be the one to take that dumb penalty and get that St. Louis on a roll. So it could be that.
Right, right. Before any Rangers news to share or anything up? I know it's the off season for the Blue Shirts, but anything on the Blue Shirts side of things you like to share?
It's been quiet. I don't know if anyone's been watching the World Championships. You're getting to see a lot of Jack Hughes skate, a lot of Capo skating. USA played Finland the other day. That was kind of fun to watch the two of them fight it out again. Capo's looking really good. I think he has 3 or 4 points. I know he has 3 goals in the World Championships so far. A little less of giving the Devils and the Rangers one more look of how they play before the draft has been pretty fun to watch. Brady Shea's been having a really good tournament. He's averaging like 20 minutes a game. He scored a goal the other day for Team USA. So it's good to see them playing. Fox is getting some ice time. Kreider's been playing all right. Some other Rangers. Lundqvist had a shutout the other day. Filippito scored a goal. So the Rangers are making themselves known a little bit in the World Championships. Not watching it too much because every time you watch it, it'd be better if they were playing in the Eastern Conference Finals. But hockey's hockey, so we're making do. There's really been no talk of anything. No rumors really floating around. I think for the next 3 weeks, it's going to be real quiet. And then from when the Stanley Cup Finals end to when the draft starts up, then you're going to see, you know, some trades made, some moves made. The Rangers do have the 20th pick and the second overall pick. So they should have an interesting first round. I guess whether they're going to move that 20th pick for something good or hold on to it, probably be a draft day decision. The Rangers have said that they're going to be extremely aggressive in the draft and in free agency. So that's yet to be determined, but there's really no talk going on.
Right, right. I know. I'll get back to this game and finish off the game. Any articles you'd like to share before we get off? The only thing I have to say about from the St. Louis Blues side of things, Pete Triangelo, the risky, I don't know if that was a coaching thing or just Mr. Simon, man. They do a lot of that jumping the puck, especially at the red line, man. I don't know if that's the smart thing you want to do versus this team. So I don't know if that was more schematic or just a missed assignment or whatever versus Timo Meier and Pietrangelo setting up a lot of these opportunities, especially in game one. So this thing is split. I think, of course, the Sharks probably just want to get 1 out of 2 in St. Louis. I think St. Louis probably wants to gun for those 2 games. Any final thoughts from you, RP?
No final thoughts. No comments from you about the Knicks dropping down to number 3 tonight. I'm kind of surprised, Steve.
Okay, I'll put it like this. How do I say this? You already know I'm a Rangers fan and I'm a Knicks fan. Let's put it like that. I'm not just a Knicks fan. I'm not just a Rangers fan.
Correct.
So the way I look at it, because from the Rangers side, we were blessed or lucky to go up to number 2. Like, nobody saw that coming. You know, the night it happened,
correct,
the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, wow, like, oh, shoot, we're number 2. Wow, we have
right.
Almost the pick of the litter. And who knows if Jack Hughes may be up there. It's probably going to be gone at number 1. But you still have at least a ready now player immediately. Now for the Knicks side of things, if you want to compare seasons, the Knicks had a worse season than the Rangers. The Rangers had a bad season.
Absolutely.
But the Knicks was historically worse. But this was everything. This lottery was everything for the Knicks, and it really didn't work in their favor. Not to say all is lost, but it's just the expectations. I mean, if we're talking about a player that possibly could have went to the Knicks, we're talking about Austin Matthews' impact, Connor McDavid impact, Sidney Crosby impact. That's the type of impact the Knicks could have had. So that's how much it stings. It's a terrible system. It should never happen, man. I don't like it at all.
Their lottery, I don't know a lot about it, but their lottery is, I think, is worse than hockey because they take the bottom 3 worst teams and they all get the same shot at getting the number 1 pick. Am I correct on that?
Right.
They all get the same amount of lottery balls. That's not the way it's supposed to work.
Correct.
I mean, I understand you want to prevent tanking, but that's a little on the harsh side. Because
it is.
Three of those teams only had a 1 in 3 chance of getting the number 1 pick. two of those teams were going to feel the way the Knicks feel now. There was no, know, it should be, if you're the worst team, your odds should be the best to get it. I'm not saying it's not the way it used to be when the bottom team got the number one and then all this tanking crap, you know, came around and so forth. But that is a tough way to go for a Knicks club that was a little too reliant on getting the number one pick. That was the other problem. They really needed the number one pick to make their world go round. So I can understand that. But if everyone's listening, if you guys just hunt through Twitter tonight, there are some hysterical memes on Knicks fans after this decision. I mean, I'm not making fun of them, but some of the things that people put out, I was laughing out loud tonight. I mean, there was one Zion Williams. I forgot his whole name. His face on Steve Carell's body from The Office when he's yelling no when he finds out he's going to the Pelicans. That, I mean, it's hysterical. I think the Score app put it out. I mean, just things like that. You're like, wow. I mean, I feel for Knicks fans to do, because we're Ranger fans even. We normally get the short end of the stick a lot too. So I understand what they're going through. But some of these fans are really like already calling it the season's done. You still got the number three pick. Of course, the number one pick would have been great. But all isn't lost yet. Give it a month.
Yeah. And for the Garden teams, I mean, this past season for both the hockey and the basketball club, I mean, it was bad as it gets.
Yeah,
because I see both the Rangers side, I see both the Knicks side. And, I mean, it's tough if you're a fan of both teams. Like I said, if you're a Rangers fan, you did not expect to go up to number two. So you are like,
oh, no.
Wow. Like, Christmas was unexpected.
It was great. You're right. You know, for the Ranger fans, it was, because there were two. There's actually three if you include the Russian prospect, who always stays in the back of our mind, because you know how the Rangers scouting staff is with the Russian players. But they're still in a good spot, because even, you know, if the Devils don't take Hughes, well, then the Rangers get Hughes, and that's great. And if they do take Jack Hughes, well, Kako's a fantastic hockey player. It's almost like having two number one picks this year. I mean, that's how tight they are.
That's the difference in this draft. You're right. That's the difference in the NHL.
And the Finnish guys might be a little bit more ready now, because when he played last year in the Finnish Elite League, he was playing with men already, where Hughes wasn't yet. Not that he's not able to do it and capable, none of that. Just if you're comparing the two, that's the only real difference in them. They are both going to be phenomenal hockey players in the NHL, and they're both going to be, I believe, they're both going to be in the lineup this year coming out of training camp. So the Rangers are in a win-win spot. You were asking about articles I wrote, and that was one I wrote on Gorton. This has to be the easiest NHL draft Jeff Gorton may ever have, because he doesn't have to make any decisions. The Rangers' future is going to be made by the New Jersey Devils, because whoever they don't pick, the Rangers are going to take.
Rangers are going to get.
And there's never going to be.
Yeah.
And there's never going to be, oh, you should have picked this or you should have picked that. That's what Ray Shero and the Devils are going to have whoever they pick doesn't work out. The Rangers are kind of just sitting there and let the guy fall in their lap, because the Devils are going to make the decision
as
for
they
them.
Should. As
and
they should.
And it's a really good position in the spot that Gorton's in with all the pressure and the rebuild and all. Here's one when they're number two pick. I had nothing really to do with it. I took the best guy available. The Devils took the other guy, and we move on. So I think for him, he's in a great spot. He's in, you know, something. All the, like you said, the year that they had and the year before, and even though they've grown a little bit, you know, still missed the playoffs for the second year, still have a lot of questions on the blue line. But for this one night in this draft, he can sit back and go, all right, tell me who I'm taking. And that's a pretty good position to be in, knowing that that player is going to be in your lineup next year and could be a game changer.
Absolutely.
And definitely a huge part of your rebuild on the forward position. So I think they're in good spot, good position. And I understand what the Knicks are going through, because unfortunately for the Knicks, the number three pick, as good as he will be, won't be what one or two are. But definitely won't be what the number one was. So you're in the position that they're in.
But number one,
and
definitely.
You know, that number one pick might entice Kevin Durant to come over. That's what they're looking for. Or someone else to want to come to the Knicks, instead of it feeling like such a struggle to get the top elite players to come to New York. Especially with there's so much movement of players in the NBA. It's not like any other sport. I mean, it just seems that top players tend to really pick up and go after a couple of seasons. So I think the number one pick had more value than just the player. So I understand what they were.
Keyword. The key word in what you just said is value. That's the issue why the Knicks, this thing sucks for the Knicks. It's about value, because just because you get the number one pick doesn't mean you have to actually make the pick. They could have traded that
Correct.
Pick to the higher suitor. So the value of it, of not having that after the worst season in franchise history, it even sucks more. Like, this is the night Knicks fans, Knicks Nation was looking forward to, and did not work
sure.
out this way because of the new lottery. It really sucked. And this was
was this the first year of that new lottery like that?
Yes.
Was this the this was, right? Figures.
Yes.
It's just the Knicks luck right there, too.
right. Oh, one more quick question before we go. Stanley Cup. Who wins the Stanley Cup with the remaining four teams?
Boston.
I'm going to say Boston.
I think it's
going to
be Boston. I think Boston and San Jose is my pick for the final, and I think it's going to be Boston
right.
on the way.
That's who I have, but
I'm an East Coast guy, though. I always think it's wrong of me, but I always think the East Coast, when they get up there, they tend to be a little bit more aggressive in the games, and they battle harder. But I got news for you. If it's San Jose on the other side, they play pretty damn tough, too. So my thinking and theory on that might be a little bit off.
Think about it. If those two teams were in the finals and Joe Thornton sticks it to Boston after him,
it's all right.
Draft pick
storyline. Yeah, that's awesome.
Right.
I just want to see. I just want to see a good Stanley Cup final. I don't want to sweep. I want to see a 6 or 7 game series. You want to see close games. I want to see the battle, and you know. It's the finals, and if it's not my team in it, I wanted to see a hard fought. You know what I'm saying? And I agree. I think Boston and San Jose is probably what the NHL is leaning towards. Though Carolina would be good because it's like the Cinderella story. Here comes the wild card team and makes it to it. But that, you know, either way, the final, any of these four teams going into the final, it should be a strong Stanley Cup final for it. But I would like to see
any
Boston
and San
Jose
though.
Do it.
They need Boston.
Yeah,
it's definitely need Boston over
that market. Sure. Yeah, there's a lot of hatred. I mean, people like to watch Marchman just get beat up, if he could, on Boston. So that just brings ratings right there. But, you know.
But damn, I mean, if they win, I mean, the hockey team would have one again. The football team had one. The baseball team had one. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. For a New Yorker, for a New Yorker just to say Boston, I'm sure everyone's cringing, but it's hockey. You want to know something? The better teams normally, aside from Tampa Bay, Steve, the better teams in these 7-game series normally find a way to get there. Maybe they won't win the final, but I'm thinking Boston will get there. But they're 5 minutes and 30 seconds from a 3-0 lead. If they hold on to this lead, Boston's going to make it to the finals. I do not see them dropping four straight to anybody.
No,
never mind Carolina.
No, I don't.
They're just playing. Tuukka Rask is just playing too well right now. I mean, Carolina's throwing everything they have on them. They're throwing everything they have them. If you're a Carolina fan, you're frustrated, but what more can you ask of them? They're getting shot after shot after shot, and the guy just won't let nothing in. He let one bad goal in, and you know what's impressive? He let it go. He let one bad goal in, and he forgot about it. You can just tell the way he's playing. That's where his confidence is. Is that a crappy goal in the Eastern Conference Final meant nothing to him? Oh, well, I'll get the next one. Well, I mean, it's awesome. When you're watching this, you just don't see goalies with that strong mentality. And right now, the guy's on fire. And Carolina's in a heap of trouble. 32 shots on goal they have tonight. And they got one by him on a real crappy one. It's, you know, and it's Carolina's not even playing bad. But the better teams find ways to win. They had a tough first period. They were a bad goal at the end of the second, Boston. But they scored two quick goals to start the second period off. I mean, think about it, Steve. Carolina had 20 shots on goal in the first period and don't score. And then
Correct.
Boston scores a minute and a half into the second period.
Correct.
Total deflation. And then they score 5 minutes later on a power play. And now, before you know it, you're down 2-0 already. So, it's, you know something? Like I keep saying, that the better team in this series is just winning the games. They're winning the battle. They're winning the faceoffs. They're just a better hockey club right now. I mean, Carolina can't score on the power play. They're 0-for-5. Boston's winning 59% of the faceoffs tonight. Puck possession.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina, you know,
yeah,
what more can they do? The only category Carolina is winning is takeaways and giveaways and hits.
Right, right.
But you see, look, so Carolina's out hitting the Boston Bruins. That's not their style of game. So they're paying attention more to the hits than they are to the scoring. That just shows me that stat. Same thing I said earlier. They're out hitting them 34-21. That's not Carolina's style of play. It's not. They're a hard-hitting team, don't get me wrong. But I think they're trying to do more physically than they are offensively. At least for the series. For tonight, you can't really say that. They're trying from every angle to get the puck in the net. They just can't get it by them. They just can't get it by them.
They can't. Oh, let me ask you this, because I brought up this point last week before we go. The San Jose Sharks, they had this long window, so many years in the playoffs. Is it now or never for them?
That's a good question. I think it might be now or never for Thornton. I don't know if it's a team or not. They have a mix of a lot of young and old in that club. I'm not sure. I know, you know something? You try to write them off a lot, but they seem to be a good second half. And once they get into the playoffs, then they know anything's possible. But I would think for a guy like, you know, Joe Thornton, it might be now or never. I don't know how much more he's got left in the tank. Though he looks great. Yeah, that's a real question I have to think on. You know, this year, all the teams that we dealt with powerhouses really weren't. No one really, I don't want to say no one was dominating in the West, but it wasn't like in the East when Tampa Bay led from beginning to end. There was never a doubt. There was never a question they were going to make the playoffs and all. I mean, everyone expected them to be playing now, instead of the two teams that are playing now. But on the West, it was sort of, you know, up and down and back and forth a little bit. That's a real good question. I really couldn't tell you if this is it. If I had a guess, I'd say no. I think they have more to show and more to play for. I mean, they were in second place. They had 101 points this year. Vegas had 93. So if San Jose drops 5 games from this year to last year, hell, they're still going to make the wild card or the third place team next year. And that puts them back in the playoffs again where, once again, anything can happen. So I don't think it's now or never, but I don't think they want to let a golden opportunity slip by.
Right. That's the
guess
where
what I'm looking at.
Is this, will they blow this golden opportunity because of how things went down in the East with Crosby out, Ovechkin out, Tampa Bay out? That's not going to happen.
I guess all the teams
often
are saying that, though. Yeah, I think all teams are saying that, though. It's once, you know, the Knights got knocked out and the Capitals got knocked out and Tampa Bay got knocked out, I think everybody was salivating at the opportunity because after the first round of the playoffs, all four first rounds were gone. Number one seeds were out, which made it anybody's Stanley Cup.
Oh, that's another thing.
So
that's another thing you brought
up. You know
what
I'm saying?
Oh, like Winnipeg and Nashville got out.
Yeah. I mean, Calgary got knocked out.
That's my point because it's not too many. It's not too often where your number one seed get knocked out like this.
Right.
And not to
I don't know
that
if
that
you
can
say San Jose is going to
the
opportunity. I would think any of these teams, if they don't win the cup now, are going to say, wow, we wasted a great opportunity. Because the teams are fairly even. Well, in the West, they're fairly even. I think here you got a wild card team in the Hurricanes going against a second place team in Boston. But there was an eight point difference, 4-win difference, not dramatic. You know, remember, even with the wild card thing, the teams were, especially this year, I mean, if you take away Tampa Bay's 128-point season, Boston had 107, Toronto had 100, and Carolina had 99, and Columbus had 98. So they were all within 3-4 games of one another. So there's a ton of parity in the playoffs this year. So I can't say that San Jose would say they've wasted a huge opportunity to get a cup. I think all four of these teams, three of them are going to be saying that, without a doubt.
I think more St. Louis, not St. Louis, San Jose than anything, because they've been in it longer than St. Louis. They've been in it longer than Carolina, than anything.
Yeah, but what
Boston has their
Stanley Cup. You see, but to me, what's happened in the past seasons doesn't affect what's going on in this postseason. I hear what you're saying. Maybe some of the players will regret if they don't win it and all, but as a whole.
Well, I'm not even saying it from a player's perspective. I'm looking at it from a Sharks fan perspective.
From a Sharks fan, yeah, I would. This is an opportunity, but I'm going to tell you something. But Boston's going to be a tough team to beat. Because we always talk about in the playoffs,
I agree.
A goalie and the team getting hot at the right time. And I think Rask is playing better than any goalie out of the four right now. By far, way better than any of the three other goaltenders, starting goaltenders. There is
no
just
argument for me.
He's in a zone. He is in a zone that if you're a Boston Bruin player, coach, or a fan, man, you got to like your chances every time they step on the ice. Because you look at this game tonight. The focus on this guy is just – his focus is incredible. I mean, 36 shots on goal, and he made 35 saves. A minute and 48 to go, and you're going to be up 3-0. The last thing they want is for this guy to sweep and get a break. Then again, the Bruins probably don't even want that. he's playing at a different level. He's playing at a different level right now. I mean, it's really – they're just showing right now – some of the replays that have saved this guy's made, Carolina's got to be kicking themselves in the head trying to figure out what they got to do to beat him. I mean, he's in his series, he's only given up 5 goals in 3 games. He's made 84 saves on 89 shots. Carolina's got to be saying, what do we do now? They just threw everything but the kitchen sink at him, and he gave up 1 goal. It's tough to be going into game 4 trying not to get swept. You know, can they keep this level up for a whole another 3 periods and you know, hope that Boston doesn't win? It's a real interesting scenario. So, to what were saying, San Jose fans are probably saying, hell yeah, we're wasting an opportunity if we don't win a cup. But I think everyone's fans are. I really do.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure Carolina's saying, wow, we finally got back to here, you know?
Yeah. We're out of time. Ranger Proud, we'll be back next Tuesday. We'll be probably talking Stanley Cup Finals at that point. Great dialogue, man, on these last 4 teams, 2 in each conference. Bleed Blue Show, Ranger Proud on Facebook, Twitter, and, of course, Elite Sports Writer as well. Be back next Tuesday to talk more hockey, Stanley Cup Finals. Sangre Azul, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?